What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. And look, I don't do the news. We're talking the news. It's not necessarily great news. It could be good news. We could still sign Fernandes. Some people are still putting it out there, but some people are saying that he's very close to signing for Tottenham. But I want to start off talking about Tchouaméni. A big update coming in from Fabrizio Romano. Are Man United in for Boadi? I'll let you make your mind up because there is a report this morning about that. Cunha's tearing it up in the World Cup and some interesting stuff coming out about Lenny Yoro. 2 years on, Man United still think £50 million for Yoro was a major coup. I would imagine that if you spend £50 million on a player, you'd expect that return to be showing a little bit more than it is after 2 years. But look, I like the player. Let's see. Lots to get into on the show this morning. Hope you're doing very well. The big statement we're going to start off with, though, is in relation to Tchouaméni. And this came in from Fabrizio Romano in the last few hours. And what he's basically saying is that Manchester United... Tchouaméni has a big salary, and at the moment it is not what Man United want to do. Also, Real Madrid are yet to open the door for his exit, and if they do, Man United would be ready to understand the situation. So in essence, what Fabrizio is saying is that with regards to Tchouaméni, if Man United were to move for him, the wage is too high. It's a very big wage and Man United would not want to pay it. Matty Moretto, who works with Romano, has said that Real Madrid would consider offers of around 75 million for him as well. Man United are interested, though there's no indication that the French midfielder wants to leave. I don't think we're very good at transfers, shock horror. And as Orca said, why are we looking at players we can't afford? I think this is the baffling thing about the summer transfer window for Man United so far. We've known bad windows, we've known exciting windows, we've had despair, and then we'll find £150 million from nowhere. But I feel like this transfer window, Manchester United are in third place in the Champions League with an inexperienced coach, and they need to be ambitious. And you know what? Whether it's Elliot Anderson, Tonali, Tchouaméni, and I'll leave it at those three players, because forget the Fernandeses and the Scots and the Belabers for a moment. Let's just focus on the fact that we sometimes get lost that we need three midfielders. We need a marquee midfielder to replace Casemiro to play next to Mainu. Forget the left back, forget the other two midfielders, forget Edison. We needed... and do need an absolute marquee signing. And they're a marquee signing not because it's a big paycheck or a big wage, but because they come in with a pedigree to replace Casemiro in that team. I would have expected Manchester United to be fighting for these deals like the third camel on the ramp for Noah's Ark and it's just started raining. You know? Figure it out. I would have thought that, you know, we'd be fighting for our bloody lives to get these deals over the line. And what we're doing is we're walking away going, I'll just go and wait in the rain. And we'll drown. We will drown. And that's how I feel. No taking the piss out of Wilcox with my phone. No taking the piss out of Berardi or Sir Jim Radcliffe. I thought Man United we're going to be fighting like the third camel trying to get onto Noah's Ark, and instead we're walking away into the rain to drown. And I'm like, where's the fight? Where's the ambition? And yes, we do need three midfielders, but Tchouaméni, Tonali, Anderson, all available. We're walking away. We're Craig David FC. We're walking away again because of money. And you know what as well? Like, I have this information. You can get it yourself. I've got it from very... You couldn't get it from a better source. Tchouaméni's wage isn't even that big. For Manchester United to be allowing Romano to say that they like Tchouaméni, but the wage is way beyond what they want to pay. He's on 210 grand a week. 210, not 310. He's on 210 grand a week. Even if you offer him 250, I still think it's good. What, since when did... I mean, let's round it up. Let's say it's 225. Since when was 225 grand a week too much? As soon as I saw this, the quotes coming out from Romano, I was like, he's not on 300 grand a week. You know, he's on about 225. And we're putting it out there that, you know, we don't want to pay that wage. And yet again, there are some people in our fan base going, good, well done. Well done. I mean, do they get excited by football and the prospect of winning? Or do they get excited by the, you know, walking away and not paying for things? I don't get what that's all about, because that's a fact. His wage is not actually that big at Real Madrid. And you would expect for a Casemiro... I mean, if I was Jim Radcliffe, I would have said, Casemiro's leaving. We're going to have to pay around 250 for his replacement. You know, if you're running a business and your CEO is on, you know, 300 grand a year and he leaves, if you want a good CEO, you're going to probably go, right, I don't really want to pay 300 grand a week again, but we might have to pay about 250. I mean, as I said, we're replacing Casemiro and we're saying that 210 grand a week's too much. And Mason Mount is a bloody new kit model on £250,000 a week. So I've said this before and I'll say it again. The big problem with Man United is we've got people in charge who won't listen because they think we can be successful with a wage structure that is, you know, comparable to Aston Villa and a transfer limit budget that is comparable to Everton and an age limit which is comparable to what Chelsea have been doing for the last 3 years and failed. Hydration break. So, yeah, I just... it's not that I'm angry this morning. I'm just baffled. You know, we are Camel FC. We are that third camel that should be fighting for its bloody life, and we're not. I'm confused by the lack of ambition, the lack of fight. And look, I think what we've probably done on the Tchouaméni thing before we move on to Fernandez, because there are some updates there as well, and this Boadi story. I think what we've probably done is, I mean, again, I sort of try and pick things apart. Someone just said we're DiCaprio FC with our age limit. I think you have to sort of like pick things apart, don't you? With Elliot Anderson, for 9 months, he was our priority. And then when the summer transfer window comes along, we go, well, we didn't think he'd cost more than 80 million. My cat knows that Anderson's worth £100 million and he can't talk and doesn't watch football. Like, how can you talk about being a player being your absolute... You know what? This will make me angry. I'm sort of lost on the multiple updates we've had over the last 9 months from very credible journalists about Elliot Anderson being our priority. You know, like when we've had bad results and the next day Elliot Anderson's the priority. They've absolutely rinsed us. They could have said Yamal was the priority for 9 months. It would have been more of a reality. Like, they literally did put it out there for 9 months consistently that Elliot Anderson was our priority. And now they've not done anything. But the reason they haven't done anything is because they thought the price was going to be £80 million or less, which they know is a load of bollocks. Can you imagine being sat in the boardroom of Manchester United in January or February or March or April, and they're saying, well, we love this player. He's perfect. He's got everything. And guess what? We're going to get him for no more than £80 million. There's numerous people in that boardroom. You'd think they'd put their hand up and go, I don't want to ruin the party. And, you know, by all means, crack out the Oreos. But he's not going to go for £80 million. He's going to go for £100 million. Oh, shut up. But the same thing's happened with Tchouaméni. He's our dream deal. He's our dream deal. Fabrizio, he's our dream deal. He's our dream deal. Oh, we didn't realise he was on 210 grand a week. That's way too much. Do you realise how stupid that is? It's like taking your kids to McDonald's, yeah? And you saying, what do you want? Happy Meal. Okay. And then you get to McDonald's and they say a Happy Meal, a fiver. What? Well, we're not willing to pay that. We're leaving, kids. I mean, everybody fucking knows the price of a Happy Meal, and everybody knows it's going to be around a fiver, isn't it? To say Tchouaméni's our dream deal and then go, he's on really high wages and we don't want to pay them. They're not even bloody high wages. And also, they're very easily accessible. But one theory I do have is that have we put it out there this morning about Tchouaméni and his wages just to kill any enthusiasm? You know, have they done that to Fabrizio to say, hold on a minute, Fabrizio, we're in enough trouble with the Fernandez deal. People are now pivoting towards Tchouaméni like it's going to happen. That's a really hard deal. You need to kill that off a little bit. We need to temper expectation, because it just feels like there was starting to get a bit of momentum around Tchouaméni, and then you wake up this morning and it's like, nah, we're not going to pay for it, are we? Also, another angle could be that we're putting it out there that we're not going to pay silly wages to bring him. So if he's on 210 grand a week at Real Madrid, we're not going to give him 300 grand a week. We might be doing that. I mean, that to me, sorry, I've got a tickly throat this morning. That to me sounds a little bit optimistic that we would do that. But I think it's more likely, God, don't have a smoothie with raspberries in it before you have a bloody do a live stream. Don't buy fruit from Mallorca. I think I've got like a raspberry seed in my throat and it's really irritated it. Oh, God. Anyway, so yeah, my personal feeling is that probably the Tchouaméni update from Romano is done to temper our expectations, and those of us that were probably thinking, oh, we're going to do something here, you move on from it. Please do share the video, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always. Loads to get involved in. We've also got an update on Fernandez and Bouadi to talk about, but let me just get some of your updates here. Blame Shifter says, go get Tonali. He's on 150 grand a week and he might go to Spurs. What the fuck are we doing? Whoever sets these stupid parameters doesn't know football. Yeah, but Blame Shifter, he will be offered over 200 grand a week by Spurs, so we won't do that. Who's your desperate midfield signings as a ditcher? I'll come back to that, mate. I'd actually need a few minutes to think about it. Arshan says, I can't believe it right here, right now. They're basically saying Edison is our starter and he is Casemiro. What they said like a week ago, I'm just waiting transfers to end and expose these people. Wunce says, thanks, Mark. Please keep calling out the United fans that cheer Ineos when they do this. They are part of the problem and are just as bad as Glinios. They are creating the scenario where we will beg for belabor like dogs. This is what my gimmick is built around. They've already decided. Del Boy FC says, Sean, you get what you pay for. Love the channel, mate. Thank you, Sean. Fourth every year and a new stadium. It's all they want, says Lee Berman. Hope you're doing well. Mark, I wanted to know your opinion on Manzambi. He's versatile in midfield and could be a Bruno understudy. However, not viable this summer, probably. He's plays for Freiburg. He's done well in the World Cup, but he's probably Freiburg's best player anyway. Really exciting. Young Swiss player playing in the Bundesliga. I don't think Man United will go anywhere near him, but he will be in the Premier League at some point. He's not going to want a big increase, though, is he? Says Robert McCormack. I think Tchouaméni will want an increase, but he's not. The update, Robert, from Romano is that he's on big wages. He's not on big wages. He might ask for big wages, but he's not on big wages. And also, the point still remains, Robert, what homework are we doing? We spoke to his agent in March. What did we do? Oh, are you excited for the World Cup? Maybe speaking to his agent about salary expectations would have been a good idea. Every day passes, it gets more scary, says Amit. How can the United board expect to get a marquee signing when they don't want to pay a big transfer fee and also a good salary? And they see Maynou as the marquee midfielder, says Keel. Maybe players don't want to play for Carrick. He's not exactly experienced, or they don't want to play for the club. No ambition, says Trigger. And I'm from South Africa, says Rian. Curious what makes the UK heat so bad. Here it goes into the mid-40s sometimes in the summer and everything goes on as normal. Are we and our bodies just used to it? I mean, it's a very interesting non-football question. I think the main problem is, mate, we're just not set up for it. If it gets snowy, we close the schools. If it gets hot, we've closed the schools. The country is completely and utterly not woke, but weak. The UK I grew up in the 80s and 90s, doesn't exist anymore. Any extremity of weather and everything shuts down. We're just weak. That's what we are, in my opinion. Also, our houses are built to keep heat in because we're a colder climate, so it becomes unbearable. But yeah. Anyway. I'll tell you who's also weak, Man United's board. Let's have the update here on Fernandes, because if I'm being honest with you, I think that with regards to Fernandes, it ain't looking good, Brev. Tottenham and West Ham are already negotiating for Mateus Fernandes. The player has already given his approval to the transfer. That's from Matty Moretto via MUFC MPB. That's not great, is it? Tottenham are increasingly confident they can beat Man United to signing him for up to £80 million. A few other ITK accounts are saying that Fernandes to Tottenham is getting closer and closer. Look, that Matty Moretto update concerns me a little bit because it mentions that he's happy to go to Spurs and that they're negotiating for the deal. There are still a few journalists. I mean, we've got Ben Jacobs on at 2 o'clock, so we'll be able to get a good update. I think at this point, you know, the only people I really want to listen to are reliable journalists. I can't be dealing with rumour and all that nonsense. I mean, you know, we were told that he only wanted United. What's happened to that? We were told we'd been in negotiation for months. What happened to that? So I think in relation to Fernandes, there is still obviously stuff about United being quietly confident, etc., etc. But I was speaking to somebody last night and they just basically said, and they're not attached to the deal, it's just somebody I know in the industry. And they said, look, if Spurs have the player, they've just got to bid high and they'll win. Man United don't like it when it's a bidding war. And I think it just comes down to that. I do have a theory, though, and it comes back to what somebody just said about Michael Carrick. I was thinking about this morning. So in relation to Mateus Fernandes, I think sometimes it's difficult to put yourself in the shoes of the other party. We're Man United fans. We're proud. We love the football club. We only see Manchester United. Why would you want to go to Spurs?
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A colossal monster, a city in ruins, no way out, except inside of the all-electric Toyota CHR. John Cho stars in Escape. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
And I was thinking about it this morning, and I thought, you know, I'll bring this into the show. If you're Mateus Fernandes, and you've got George Mendes as your agent, and you know Real Madrid's interested in you, and when you sit down, you go, it might be a year or two early. Well, 2 years early, because he's only 21. It might be 2 years too early to go to Real Madrid. It's not the right move to go to Real Madrid at the moment. The pressure would be huge. You're still developing. What you actually need is a couple of years more development and staying on Real Madrid's radar. Well, George Mendes will keep him on the radar. We've got Spurs, we've got Man United. You go to Man United, you're basically going to the English Real Madrid without the prospect of being a team that's going to win anything. So the pressure's even more. You go into that midfield, you're now the replacement for Casemiro, you're only 21, you've basically got to go in there and play as one of the best midfielders in the world, otherwise you're a flop within 3 months. You go to Spurs, it's Spurs, you know? Spurs have finished fourth from bottom for the last 2 years. If you finish sixth, you've had a great year, the pressure's less, the wages are more, and in 2 years you can go to Real Madrid. And I thought to myself, I don't want to listen to that, but in reality, you'll get paid more. You'll still be able to go to Real Madrid in a couple of years if you want to. The pressure will be less. You'll stand out more. I'm not saying he's going to sign for Spurs, but, you know, taking the red-tinted glasses off, I was like, who was the last young player that Man United signed that did well? Go to Man United, maybe end up being the next Donny van der Beek. Go to Spurs, you might end up being the next Gareth Bale. And also, are Spurs not more ambitious? Are they not willing to pay what you're worth? Well, you know, not pay what you're worth, but are they not willing to give you a good wage? Are they not willing to give your club a good salary? Man United has got a lot of risk and not a lot of reward. Man United are trying to buy you on the cheap. Spurs are, you know, selling you a project. So I just think that, and look, it's not done yet, but I've got a bit of backtracking to do if he signs for Spurs, because I was taking the piss out of them a week ago. But if it does happen, listen to those last couple of minutes, and I don't think anybody can argue with it. If his pathway is to go and play for Real Madrid or Barcelona or PSG, 2-3 years at Spurs, he's not going to fail it. If he's a good player, you're not going to fail at Spurs. Spurs can be shit, and Harry Kane still gets, you know, Harry Kane still got praised, so did Son. I think it's concerning. But look, apparently Man United still retain confidence that they can get him. We're going to have to pay. We're going to have to pay. Apparently, if Spurs push the button, the wage is much bigger than our offer. The salary, the transfer fee is much bigger than our offer. And the extras are bigger than our offer as well. So effectively, Mateus Fernandez would need to go, I only want to go to Man United. La 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 la. I only want to go Man United. And then the price could get driven down to what we want to pay. He may not be thinking that. He might have George Mendes in his ear going, you go to Man United, they probably won't want to sell you ever. You go to Spurs, 2 or 3 years, you'll be going to Real Madrid, another payday. And you have to think about this. Football fans don't. They listen to the regurgitated bollocks of liars and spinners. And the reality is, why would he go to Spurs? Because in 2 or 3 years, he can move again. And if I'm his agent, in 2 or 3 years, I get a massive fee again. Whereas if he goes to Man United, he might flop, I'll never make any more money. He might sign a new contract. It's a little bit of money. They're very unlikely to sell him again, are they? So you can see why it's starting to go that way. But what I would say is we've left the door open for that opportunity and Spurs have took it. We should have slammed that door shut 2 or 3 weeks ago and we'd never be in this situation at all. We should have done. But we're not willing to be moved quickly. We move at our own speed. And that leaves the door open for other people. Penny pinches FCs, exactly, says Tantric. Daniel Thompson says, they're so obsessed about the stadium that they're willing to let the team that will actually play in it get weaker. They're asking Carrick to fix a Ferrari with no tools. Arshan says, I mean, if £20 is so much for this board, just go to Scott's agent, put 65 on the table instead of 85. Use that other 20 for likes of Chiumini. And Sub says, please help us understand from when good players started coming cheap and since when good teams start diverting from them, says Sub. And Ami says, here's how this transfer window goes, in my opinion. In Edison, Chiumini, Agartic won't go. We won't get a left back or a left midfielder, so Rashford will be back. Look, in relation to Rashford, I don't propose to talk about Rashford in any depth, but I know that as things stand, him returning to the club isn't beyond the realms of possibility. All options are on the table, is basically what I've been told. It definitely feels like Carrick told them he is fine with the squad. That's why they're not really trying for transfers. Half-assed, says JSD. Plays. And the only balls United have is in their ball lockers as Ginger Red. What do you think of South Africa qualifying, says Franco? Great. We have a lot. I'm glad you reminded me, actually. We have a lot of South African Manchester United fans. And for them to bypass South Korea and go in through second place is absolutely brilliant for South African football. And African football in general is doing very, very well. You know, Ghana drawing with England, Cape Verde, Ivory Coast. So very, very good result for them. And I bet it was party time in South Africa last night. Fantastic. Who's your desperate midfield signing we're going to come back to? So look, just before I move on, summarising the news this morning, Fabrizio Romano basically saying that Tchouaméni's wage is too high. He's not actually on a high wage, but Man United already putting it out there that we're probably moving away from that one. And Enzo Fernandez is apparently very close to signing for Spurs. There's enough people talking about it to be concerned. What I will say is I'll reserve judgment until Ornstein or Romano or even a Ben Jacobs today or a Simon Stone or someone like that. I want a bit of clarity, because if I'm being completely honest, we need to see how United are going to navigate this. And as I said to you last night, there's only two scenarios left now. We either compete with Spurs and overpay, which goes against what we're all about, or we walk away to what? And let me just cover this for a moment. I'm not blind. You know, I do go on social media. You know, it's fantastic for football because, you know, there's so much going on and that's the best place to get your updates, really. And whilst you're looking for those updates, you do sometimes see other people posting stuff. And again, I have seen people saying, well, what are West Ham doing? Who do they think they are? Well, I'm pretty sure if it was Man United and Bruno Fernandes was leaving and Real Madrid wanted him and Bayern Munich wanted him, we'd try and boost the price up, wouldn't we? We wouldn't go, forget your good offer, Bayern Munich. Yeah, Real Madrid's the right move for him and let's sell him cheap. I mean, West Ham are just trying to get the best deal for themselves. I don't know why anyone's moaning there. And secondly as well, we've got people saying, you know, we should walk away. How many times do you want to walk away? To those United fans that are thinking it's okay to walk away, two things. Why is it okay to keep walking away from Matheus Fernandes, Tonali, Anderson, Diamande, Lewis Hall? Why is it okay? And what's going on in your head as a football fan, not a finance fan, as a football fan? Why are you so motivated and happy with Man United walking away from players that are going to make us better? At what point did you lose track of what a football fan is? We're fantasists. You know, we're meant to believe. We're meant to be excited. We're not meant to go, I'd walk away because it's another 5 million quid. I'd walk away because it's another 50 grand a week. That's not our job. As I said to you before, when we signed Andy Cole, when we signed Ruud van Nistelrooy, when we signed Wayne Rooney, I didn't look at the fee and go, ooh, that's 10 million more than we should pay. And it's another 50 grand a week more than we should pay. Let's walk away. We've lost that because we're owned by penny pinchers. We've become indoctrinated into this ridiculous notion that we should walk away from players because it's a little bit expensive. It's football. It's always been the way. Always been the way. Somebody will always pay over the odds to get the players that they want. And we have fans now who actually agree with us walking away. Walk away to what? Elliot Anderson, plan A, walk away. Tonali, plan B, walk away. Tchouaméni, maybe plan C, walk away. Matheus Fernandes, plan D, walk away. How many more times? I don't want to sign plan F, G and H. It's a ready-made fucking excuse. I don't want excuses. Go and get plan A. Go and get plan B, minimum. I don't want to walk away. I didn't want to walk away. I'm not a hypocrite. I said this 3 weeks ago about Elliot Anderson. I wouldn't have walked away from £120 million. If he's the guy that's going to change our future, it's 20 million quid. We all know he's £100 million. If it's 120 to get him, it's 20 million quid. I wouldn't walk away. If Matheus Fernandes is the player that they think is the guy, and I don't necessarily think he is, but if they think he's the guy, and look, the data says he is, they've been spending weeks talking to him, you don't walk away for 15 million. Such a weird mindset to me to go,
The data? Well, at the end of the day, Sir Jim, the data says that Matias Fernandez is perfect. You know, Elliot Anderson would be great. I know I'm not meant to mention him, Jim, but Elliot Anderson would be great, but he's too expensive. So I've run the data through, and at the end of the day, Matias Fernandez could be the next Elliot Anderson, the Portuguese Anderson, right? So he's the player to go for. We're walking away from that one as well. Fucking hell! I know I'm data dean, but I can't pull out fucking players out my arse. Elliot Anderson was the player. You didn't want to pay for him. I found Matias Fernandez. You don't want to pay for him. I can't fucking find somebody else. It doesn't work like that. I can't find you an Elliot Anderson for £50 million that nobody else is going to bid for and only wants 150 grand a week. I can't do it, Sir Jim. I can't and I won't. I've had enough. And it's true because the data says Elliot Anderson, we walk away. The data says Matias Fernandez, oh, it might be too expensive. They don't know their arse from their elbow. Oh, we're not going to pay silly fees and we're just going to follow the data. But the data took you to Anderson. The data took you to Diamande. The data took you to Matias Fernandez. You're walking away from the data then, aren't you? You're walking away. What you're actually walking towards is cheap. It's got nothing to do with the data. It's got nothing to do with Plan A. It's about cheap. Cheap won't win you the race. You know, it won't. You buy a cheap pair of trainers to run a marathon, no matter how quick you are, as you get halfway around the race, your soles are going to come off and you're going to lose the race. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. The data says Belaba, remember. Well, the data last summer said Belaba. But one thing about data is it needs to be up to date. I always used to say in one of my jobs, don't give me data from last week. I need the data today. I need to know what the data is today. So anyway, that's where we are. One slight positive, maybe. French outlet, and he plays in France. L'Equipe say Man United are among the clubs targeting 18-year-old midfielder Ayub Bouadi this summer. Lille hope to make Bouadi their record sale this summer amid growing interest in the highly rated young talent. Look. If Man United think by missing out on Anderson and maybe Matias Fernandez and Chiumini and Tonali, if they think they can mess up all those deals and recover it by signing Bouadi, and I'm going to be happy about it, they'll be bloody right. Of course, I would love to sign this player. I would love to sign this player, but unfortunately, my feeling is that I'm going to go with the data. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, when Bouadi had that good game for Morocco, I sort of put my hand up and said, I'd heard of him, but not really. And then all the credible journalists said, well, no, he's a good player. He's not just turned up to the World Cup. He's a good player. Arsenal have looked at him for months. PSG have looked at him for months. So he's been scouted for a long time before this World Cup by other clubs. And the update was Man United hadn't. So I don't think we're in for Bouadi. I think that, as we've spoken about many, many times before, we're probably being used. You throw Man United into... I mean, it's just clever by Lille. If Lille put Man United in there, it just adds a little bit to the price, doesn't it? We won't be in there. We won't be in there, right? You know why we won't be in for Bouadi? Because, one, we weren't in for him in the first place, which is quite surprising. And two, it's a bidding war. So we will not like that at all. We won't like it at all. So I don't think we're in for him, but look, it's a new show and there it is. Have the Glazers not worked out? Shirt sales would go through the roof if we get a marquee signing. We make big revenue already. So imagine, says It's Nikkei. And do you ever think you'd live in the world where you thought that Ed Woodward bloke wasn't that bad? Glenios are factually worse than the banker. I'm scared, says Pete. To be honest, though, Pete, my mind doesn't really work like that. I know some people do think that we were better under the Glazers than we are under Ineos because they would write the big checks. And I suppose, in a way, I can understand the preference. However, I thought the Glazers and Woodward were bloody awful. I thought they spent stupid money on wrong players and gave stupid wages. I think Ineos won't pay wages and won't pay stupid fees. The clever point is to spend good wages and good fees on the right players. Glazers spent the money on the wrong players. Ineos won't spend the money on the right players. So for me, you're just comparing different shades of shit. What we actually need is competent people that when we wake up in the morning and we watch this show and we get the updates, we're going, finally, we're behaving like a big football club. And it's not that difficult. Brighton do it. Bournemouth do it. Man City do it. Liverpool do it. Arsenal do it. So many clubs behave well. And I'm not saying that Brighton, you know, Brighton don't operate with the operates with the budgets that we do, but within their lane, they are elite. You know, contextually, Brighton are up there with Man City in what they do within the budget and means that they have. We just haven't operated like a competent football club for a very, very long time. And that's all I want. And I genuinely think I could sit in that boardroom, like many of you, and just be one voice providing clarity and understanding, because they just don't seem to get it. Like I say, I'm not angry and frustrated. I'm not going to start shouting and everything like that.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I just think we're having a very, very bad transfer window at the moment, and we're putting some very bad messages out. As I say, I expected us to be the third camel on the ramp of the Noah's Ark, fighting to go on it in the rain. What we're actually doing is just Craig David FC walking away, isn't it? And I'm like, did not expect that. Our PR at the moment's crap. Perception of Man United at the moment is bad. They can control that, by the way. Man United are a very, very big brand. They've got a very, very big machine. They can like it or not. They can be relaxed or not. They can be quietly confident. I always say this, you know, think what you like about the fans. Think we're, you know, you can think we're an inconvenience or an irritant or whatever you like. But the reality is nobody's making it up. Your perception in this fan base at the moment out of 10 is probably a 2. In a transfer window, I think you should always be operating between a 6 and an 8. Why does the head not talk to the tail? Why do Man United not figure that out? You know, they are very locked in on social media and shares and all this lot, right? Why do they not figure out that actually having a good relationship and a feel-good factor around your football club is very important? You know, Man United should be operating at a 7 or an 8 in relation to how we feel about the football club this summer, especially considering we've qualified for the Champions League and we've got a new manager. I'd say we're operating around a 2 or 3 at the moment. And, you know, even the Ineos Rimmers and all that lot, you can sense their concern as well. They're literally praying that this Mateus Fernandes deal happens so they can go, I told you so. And I hope it does happen. But at the moment, whether we end up with a good window, and it can still happen, at the moment, again, they've took their eye off the ball in relation to the perception they portray to the people who matter the most, which is you. We're not giving off the vibes of a football club that's in control. I mean, at the end of the day, we're battling with Spurs for our number one target. And Spurs are pushing us up in price. Irish Beckham, we are joke of a club. Thanks, Ineos. Thank you very much. And Ben says, it's the same cycle as usual. We get Champions League football and don't get what we need. Let's get all excited. We bought some land. Well, look, Ben, I mean, I sort of hinted at this last night. My assumption is that Arsenal and Man City will get top five. And my assumption is that top five will get you to the Champions League, because I think English clubs will do well again and get the extra spot. So two of the five spots are gone. I think Arsenal and Man City have them on lockdown, right? Three spots left. There's Man United, there's Liverpool, there's Chelsea, there's Aston Villa, and there's probably, you could argue, Spurs. So five clubs going for three spots. You know, you've got more than a 50% chance. However, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United, and Villa we're all playing Champions League football, Chelsea and Spurs aren't. We've seen how advantageous that can be. Also, who's going to have the best transfer window? So, all right, we've got a good chance of finishing in the top five, and ultimately that's probably what the club wants. What about Newcastle, Marks, London? I mean, I think Newcastle, it's very difficult to tell. But my point is, we should be getting into the top five next season, but you can see very quickly how that might not happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's absolutely catastrophic. And, you know, you can't look at Man United's squad playing Champions League football and look at Spurs' squad not playing Champions League football if they get Fernandes and Tonali and go, we're definitely going to finish above Spurs. They could be a club that pushes out. People ignore Amrim's contribution last transfer window. Carrick will just take whatever Ineos give him. One call with Amrim and player was convinced, says Roosh. And Goldfridge says, haven't we learned from Fernandes and Spurs that you can't play around with these players' agents in the market? Signalling we won't pay 250k a week. Tchouaméni won't make him lower his demands, but push him to a rival. Just on Tchouaméni, by the way, he is for sale. It's just Real Madrid need to get players in first. So the update that there's no indication that he's leaving Spurs or he wants to leave, he's leaving Real Madrid or he wants to leave Real Madrid. He does. He will. And it can happen. The board failures with players on big wages in the past means fans let them get away with little to no spending on big players now. It's shameful. I think this is a very good point from Thomas. Because the board spent silly wages and silly transfer fees in the past, some of our fans are on board with not doing it again. I mean, this is like a, you know, Christmas to the Glazers. They're like, we don't want to spend money. We want to service the debt. And we've actually got fans in our fan base that applaud us for doing it. Like, there's literal facilitators in our fan base that let them off the hook. Well, I don't think we should pay over 200 grand a week for a player. I don't think we should pay over £80 million for a player. I mean, this is literally Glazernomics. They want this. They want to not spend money. And some of our fans are going, great, brilliant, let's not spend money. This is, why should we? You know, we're only a football club trying to be successful. Why should we not spend money? Why should we spend money? It's mad. My personal, unprofessional, uneducated opinion, I don't rate anyone available in this window. None of them excite me. Not excusing, not getting them, says Keel. Well, I was asked this question earlier. What's my midfield, right? I disagree with you, Keel. I think Matheus Fernandes doesn't massively excite me. I think he's a talented player, but I'd rather get Scott. I've always said that. Scott is an interesting prospect, but he's a prospect. Baleba, I think, is a massive mistake and not very good. Stiller would have been an interesting outlier, but we've not gone there. Same with Enmecha. So, you know, all these players I'm going through, I would agree with you, Keel. I'd go, look, it's not like they're game-changing signings. Some of them are prospects. Some of them I don't think would work. However, I do think a Bruno Guimarães, an Elliot Anderson, a Sandro Tonali change Man United. I think when players like that are gettable, those three players change Man United. I thought Bruno Guimarães was brilliant for Brazil last night, but I think he's brilliant for Newcastle. And I know he's going to be 29, but I think he's one of the best midfielders in Europe. I think Tonali's one of the best midfielders in Europe. I think Elliot Anderson's going to be one of the best midfielders in Europe. So there were and are players available that changed this Man United summer. We just don't want to do those deals. Patrick Lynch says, this summer seems to be very reminiscent of the Carrick appointment. We like Enrique, Tuchel, etc., but we can't get them. Let's go with Carrick. Doing the same with our targets. We want Anderson, etc., but end up with lesser. I was actually thinking this yesterday, Patrick, and I don't know whether I said it or sort of skirted around the edge, but absolutely, I think a lot of people will agree with what you're saying there. I think I did sort of touch on it yesterday, but I don't think I conveyed it as succinctly and correctly as you have. Exactly. You know, Michael Carrick's our manager. I hope he does really well. Edison's our midfielder. I hope he does really well. But if I'm being honest, and you have to be honest, it wouldn't have been my manager and it wouldn't have been my midfielder. That's not their fault. That's recruitment. You know, Tuchel, Iriola, Enrique, Nagelsmann, however many managers there are out there that I would have gone for over Carrick, we didn't. We settled on Carrick. In the midfield, in the summer transfer window, Diamande, Lewis Hall, Elliot Anderson, Tonali, Bruno Guimarães, maybe Matheus Fernandes. No, we're not. We can't get them. Let's go for someone else. This becomes a problem. If you're doing it with your manager and you're doing it with your players, you know, it becomes a problem. It does. And as I said, I can't stop thinking about that third camel trying to get, you know, running away from Noah's Ark because they don't want to fight into the rain to drown. You know, we don't seem to want to fight. I expected us to go. I genuinely expected us to go, fucking hell, we got away with that. You know what I mean? Where we were at the start of January was a mess. A manager that we were going to build a club with is sacked because he falls out with Wilcox about recruitment. You then interview two interims because you can't decide, Solskjaer or Carrick. You land on Carrick. Easily could have gone Solskjaer. You land on Carrick and then Carrick gets the results to get us into the Champions League. I would describe that as we got away with it as a season. I don't think the board could sit there and go patting themselves on the back because you started it with a couple of £100 million spend on a manager you sacked, and then you went with an interim who, you know, miraculously got us the results to get us in the Champions League. So I would have been sat there in this summer going, fucking hell, we really got away with that. We can't put ourselves in that situation again. Let's take this opportunity. Let's grab it by the horns and let's make sure that next season we don't put ourselves in this position again. What it feels like we've done is we're fine. Chill. Calm down. Relax. We're fine. And I actually think we needed to go, we got away with it, now the time's to go to work. And it feels like, well, we got what we wanted. Let's relax. Morning, Mark. What I worry about with our strategy is what message does it send to Bruno and our top players? We need to keep these guys too. It says Chatterbiscuit. I think in relation to Bruno, if you look at that update from Ben Jacobs, I don't think Bruno's going to leave because we don't buy Tonali. I think what Bruno's going to do is say, I'll give it a year. And I think he's just going to give it a year from now on. And if we end up with a shit season, he'll go. So I don't think Bruno's going to go, oh, you haven't bought enough players, I'm off. I think he's going to go, well, look, we're in the Champions League. I've just won Player of the Year. I'll stay. But if it goes shit, I'm going to go. Bruno will leave a sinking ship now. That's what I think. Obviously, he's not going to leave now. But I think he'll just go, look, while we're doing well, I'm happy. The minute it goes wrong, I'll think about leaving. So I don't think Bruno is going to be dictated to about by transfers. Tab says, didn't several journalists say United would be the most active team this transfer window? What happened? How much will a mediocre season cost? Look, David Ornstein said that. Fabrizio Romano said that. We will be active in this transfer window. I don't agree with people saying we're not going to do anything. We will be active in this window and we clearly have got money to spend. In one way, I think if we've got £200 million to spend, we wanted to buy four players. I think we're walking away from deals because we probably want to buy four players and we're going, well, if we buy this player over price, we can't get that in. So we will buy and we probably will buy quite a few players. The problem is the quality of those players is going to go down every time we miss on what we want. So we'll definitely buy players and we might have to polish a turd. You know, I'm sure when we sign our fifth choice midfielder, there'll still be people out there saying they're better than Anderson. We will buy players. That's not my issue. My issue is that, again, we're letting a manager down by not getting them the best that we can. Scott says the stadium is the clear priority for Glineos. They weren't ever going to bid for Anderson or Tonali. Let's be real. It's just pure spin as per. So Scott, and what we are witnessing is that the paying for the stadium has already begun. Price caps and spend caps will not go away until it's built, says the Sound Man. Oh, absolutely, mate. I mean, we've literally been talking about this on the channel for months. I think I said it about 18 months ago, in fact. I said, my fear, and it still is today, and I've never been told this, it's just, I think people forget we can be passionate about something and sometimes, well, I certainly do it all the time, we can think scenarios through. I don't need Romano to tell me something or David Ornstein. You know, we're passionate football fans who live and breathe Manchester United and football and watch all the games. And you know, you do form your own opinions and you're allowed to do that. I mean, that's the brilliance of this community. So not everything is, you know, we shouldn't be sheep who just follow every bit of story and allow that to be our opinion. I said it to you 18 months ago. My fear, and I've not been told anybody told this, my fear is that this ownership is only interested in a stadium because once that stadium's built, the value of the football club goes from 6 to 10 billion overnight. So they've doubled their money. So the stadium is a massive part of the Glazer and Ineos strategy. You build that stadium, you've doubled your money, right? How do you build the stadium? Well, you need to tighten your belt because you've got to pay for it. How do you tighten your belt? Don't pay any player over 200 grand a week. How do you tighten your belt? You don't buy any player over 80 million pounds. How do you tighten your belt? We only buy people under 26 because at least there might be a resale value. But what if we want to buy a player that's 90 million pounds and 250 grand a week? We don't do it. We don't do it because we've put the model in place, and for the next 6 years, if we stick to that model, we'll save this amount of money. That's my fear, is that these parameters are rigid, because if you go beyond them, you mess up the plan for what they're doing with the stadium. My fear is that they are literally banking on Champions League football in fourth or fifth place for the next 5, 6, 7 years on a reduced wage budget and a reduced transfer budget. And you can map that. Was it not Omar Berada that said 18 months ago, we've strategized to be in the, you know, for the minimum of Europa League for the next 3 years? They've run the numbers, in my opinion. And I don't believe for 1 minute when Omar Berada said, we want to win the league by 2028, so it's this year or next year. I laughed. You know I did. I was like, no, absolutely not. Not going to happen. How can you win the league when Tonali and Fernandez are signing for Spurs? If they sign for Spurs. How can you win the league when a team behind you has more ambition? You've got to have you've got to have a bigger ambition than Arsenal and Man City to win the league. We haven't even got a bigger ambition than bloody Spurs at the moment. So, Arshan, I've read a few of your super chats. So I will go back. Sandman was a very good one. Mark says, great show. Not looking forward to the Ben Jacobs update later. The last two have been frightening. Yes. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? I can't guarantee it's going to be good news. Pete Phillips says, Bruno had to be persuaded that we're ambitious to stay last year. If I was him, I'd be fuming. Also, potential players will look at the lack of ambition. John says, what's annoying is that after Fernandez, we're not strongly linked to anyone. If that deal was too hard, pivot. We need 6 players, not endless bluffing. Can we offer someone from the bomb squad plus cash, says Tom. And Arshan says, just because the Glazers paid mad wages and transfer fees for players like Lukaku, Sancho, doesn't mean you shouldn't pay good wages and transfer fees for good players. It's not the same thing. Exactly. Exactly, Arshan. And the worrying thing is, certain people put that out there as a reason not to spend big money. But if I sat those certain people and said, right, you know, all these people who say we should walk away and we shouldn't spend big money and we shouldn't spend big wages. Imagine if we grabbed them, put them in the boardroom and said, you have 2 years to take Man United to a title because that's what everybody wants. Tell us how you're going to do it. Every one of them will come to the conclusion that we need to spend big money on big players. So why are they telling us to walk away? If somebody has a strategy for us to win the league in the next 2 or 3 years, by not spending on good wages and good players, pray tell us. You know your strategy of walking away from every decent player that we're linked to? Tell us how we walk away from all these good players and win the league. That's all I'm saying. Tell us how we do it. Because that's the strategy of the football club at the moment. We're going to win the league, but we're going to walk away from every decent player that's available. How are we going to win the league then? And don't talk to me about 6 or 7 good young players coming through in another class of 92, because they were developed by the likes of Cantona and Schmeichel and Keane and Steve Bruce. So, and that was a one-off as well. So how are we going to win the league walking away from every decent player that's available? VIR says they were willing to pay 75 for Belaba, but suddenly Fernandez, who is only second to Anderson behind every metric apart from dribbling and evading pressure, we don't need a centre midfielder. It's appalling. Thank you very much for that as well. The new stadium could fund superstar players after that, says SXC. Mate, just use your real name, Joel. Look, I'm not getting angry this morning. So, you know, you can try and rage bait me, but that's got to be one of the most, inflammatory comments I've ever seen. The new stadium could fund superstar players after. I might be dead by then, mate. That could be 10 years away. And you want, you know, what am I supposed to do with that? Oh, in a decade, when we built the stadium and it's starting to bring money in, we might go and buy the Elliot Andersons of this world. I'm sorry. Trust me, bro. Ain't going to work anymore. But you know what? There's probably fans out there that are cheering you, you know? In 10 years, when we built the stadium, we might start spending the money on the Elliot Andersons. So basically, we're going to be 25 years without a title, are we? It's already embarrassing enough that out of the top six, we're the club who hasn't won the Premier League for the longest period of time. Sorry, top five. Don't put Spurs in there. Nonsense. Okay, thank you, everybody. We are back at 2 o'clock with Ben Jacobs. So we will get updates on everything for you then. Today is an 8 o'clock. We've got an 8 o'clock show tonight because the World Cup is at 9 o'clock with the Germany group. So we can do 8 o'clock and then go over to that. So we're in our normal slot tonight. 2 o'clock with Ben Jacobs. I'll be in the chat for that one. It's the B&B show with Beth and Ben. And also I'm doing a midnight watch along tonight as well. It's the Japan and Netherlands group as well, isn't it? So I tell you what, maybe that's why I'm so calm. The World Cup on That's Football watch-alongs, I know some of you come over anyway, it's my escapism. And it's funny because we'll be doing a watch-along and some of you maybe will go, what do you think about the Fernandez situation? What do you think about Man United midfield? And I normally will be quite blunt and say, please leave me alone. This is That's Football. We're watching the World Cup. It's pure escapism. And I love not talking about Man United over there. But over here, it's what we do. And thank you for everybody who tuned in live. If you didn't tune in live, then obviously get your comments in. I know not all of you can catch it live, but there's lots to get your teeth into. And we'll speak to all of you a little bit later. Take care. Stay safe. Have a good day.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.